Senator Paul Schimpf is joining us on the line this morning. Paul, long time no see, man. How have you been?
I've been doing well. It's good talking with you again, Tom.
Well, you know, the holidays, we had talked just before the New Year's and wished each other a Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. And then I thought, you know, let this time go because we're going to get busy, get into the holidays, and here we are. Now the time has come. And, of course, I guess the opening bell for this round is the State of the State address at noon. Do you have an expectation there?
I do, and it's important to understand that the State of the State address is much more of a vision type of speech. That's where the governor is going to lay out, you know, what his vision for Illinois is, and then he'll come back in a couple weeks and give a budget address where he talks about, you know, how he thinks we specifically ought to be spending our money and present his budget. But the speech today is a vision speech, and what I'm hoping that the governor does is I hope that, you know, he reminds everybody that the legislature did not do the work that it needed to do last year. I've always, you know, you and I have been talking, Tom, for the past, you know, 2.5 years about how it's got to be an all-of-the-above approach. There's got to be spending cuts. There's got to be, most importantly, some type of reforms that will make Illinois an attractive destination for the job creators. And the truth is, that didn't happen last year. You know, all that the legislature accomplished was, you know, giving us this massive tax increase. There was no appreciable spending cuts and no reforms. So I hope the governor mentions that today, but I also hope he stays positive and talks about, you know, the tremendous talent and resources we have here in Illinois, because I think it is important that elected officials remain positive and talk about, you know, what we have going for us, because if our leaders don't do that, who else is?
You know, the object of being able to turn a ship the size of Illinois around, I think we've been there at a while, but we've not been able to do that, and it's really because we've got more than one captain up on the bridge fighting for the wheel.
Well, you have to understand what the governor can and cannot do. He cannot introduce legislation. He cannot cause legislation to move. He cannot call bills up for a vote. So he can outline what he thinks needs to happen, but really he doesn't have the power to move legislation. That's only Speaker Madigan and President Cullerton that have that power. So, you know, the governor, you know, a lot of people are very critical about, you know, of the governor, but, you know, what more would you have him do? He, you know, he got elected, he kept his promise where he said, you know, I'm not going to accept the status quo. He gave us a very ambitious turnaround agenda. I did not agree with all parts of it, but that's okay. I'm not the governor. I'm not going to agree with him 100% of the time. You know, so he presented some options to change course. He then was willing to compromise, you know, of the 40 items in the turnaround agenda. But, you know, by the end of the budget impasse negotiations, you know, we were down to, like, I think the governor only had like two key things on the table. So he's proposed the ideas. He's been willing to compromise. You know, what more can you really expect?
It's interesting because I was doing an interview with one of the Democratic candidates for governor earlier this morning, and one of my friends texted me. And he says, big government is alive and well, just what got us here. And that's all he sent in the message. Well, I know him well enough to get what he's saying, right? That, you know, we walk around and act like that it's business as usual when we're really in pretty dire straits. I mean, you and I can go down the litany, number of people are leaving, tax increases, the property taxes going up, you know, not seeing the jobs that we'd like to see. I mean, we can really kind of go on, school funding, da-da-da-da. But that sense of, you know, and this is what, after listening to you, Paul, that there has to be that, what I call a cheerleader aspect from leaders. We can do it, you know, right, being the subtext. Well, at the same time, the people of Illinois realize that they're in a deeply damaged financial state, and, you know, a business as usual will not get us out of here. It's what got us here.
I think you're exactly right, and I think that it doesn't, you know, at some point it's counterproductive when we just go through and list everything that's wrong with Illinois, but I think we all need to recognize, you know, what, you know, the direction that the course that we've been on that got us to this point and the things that were tried in the past. You know, we have, you know, looking back, you know, through what was done in the after the new millennium in the 2000s, and then, you know, 2010, you know, we expanded the size of government, we raised taxes. You know, and the question that everybody needs to ask is, you know, did that work? Did that get us to a place that we wanted to be? And the one thing, you know, that I remember that Governor Rauner promised everybody when he was asking for this job in 2014 was he said, you know what, if you trust me, it's not going to be the status quo. We're going to try something different. And you know what? You know, he did give us some different ideas. And he said, it's not just going to be, you know, we're not just going to try to tax ourselves to prosperity. And the governor stood firm, and you know that tax increase was passed over his veto. You know, he did fight that. So, you know, I think that, you know, we need to remember that the only way we are going to solve all of our problems is to grow our economy. That is the crucial issue. The main disease that's killing Illinois is that the job creators don't want to come here anymore. And until we do something to address that, we're not going to be able to get to where we all want to go, which is a prosperous Illinois where there is, you know, plentiful opportunity and all of our vulnerable citizens are taken care of.
All right, and this is interesting because I was reading some of the articles you had been quoted in since, just in the last few days, actually. And when you had been outlining what was defined as your priorities, you start seeing that what you just talked about manifest. Workers' compensation rates, the bureaucracy, and then, of course, this is something that Will Stevens in particular has been talking to me more and more about, and that is the four-lane highway in southwestern Illinois. That there are these things that you see and have been mentioning yourself, very practical items, but can we see success? I was surprised when I spoke to the executive director of the Four Lane Coalition to note that some property hadn't landed, already been built in relation or bought in relationship to this. But you've got an outline here of what you see to help the economy, what you think we need for the economy.
Well, that's, you know, at the end of last week, I put out what I was calling 8 for 18, my 8 legislative priorities that I'm going to be working on this spring. And it's a combination of it's stuff that I think will be good for the region, but it's also things that I think are attainable. It's stuff that's, you know, that I believe is practical. I think you have to play small ball on some stuff. These are things that I believe I can, you know, working with my fellow legislators, I think I can get bipartisan consensus on and at least move forward. And one of the things that, you know, that I want to see us make some progress on is this four-lane highway. We're calling it the Southwest Illinois Connector that would connect Carbondale with the Metro East. This is a project that has been looked at for 50 years now. But I think if we are ever going to get this done, and I think it's a necessary project for a number of reasons, probably, you know, the most significant is I think if SIU Carbondale is going to be successful long term, I think that that process would certainly be helped by having them connected to the St. Louis metropolitan area. But if we are going to be successful with this four-lane highway project, it needs to, you know, we need to make some progress now, because I do think, regardless of who wins the governor's election, I think we're going to see a capital bill sometime in the next couple of years for the state of Illinois, and then President Trump is talking about infrastructure spending in rural areas. So we do need to you know, try to, if we're ever going to get this done, we need to make some progress on it now.
You know, when it comes to this coming session, you know, a lot of times there's a paralysis that falls on the legislative bodies in the proximity of an election, and then we've got the fact that it's a gubernatorial election. I'm wondering how the election will affect the agenda.
That one's tough to predict. 5 months ago, I would have said that, you know, politicians being what they are, we're going to try to just get out of Springfield as quickly as possible and get back to the districts and work on their own campaigns. So I was predicting, you know, a compromise. You know, now that I'm back in the Capitol and reality has set in a little bit more, you know, you kind of wonder, okay, they've had, you know, the leadership has had 3 years to compromise, and they've been, you know, they've refused to do it then. What makes you think that it's going to start now? I do know that the rank and file legislators really are, you know, have no appetite. Nobody has any appetite for any more impasse shenanigans. And I do think at the rank and file level, you know, there are a lot of good people that are trying to do the best for the state, you know, that they can. I think that compromise could be, you know, could be worked out at the legislator level. That's why, you know, with my with my 8-for-18 legislative priorities, I do think that I've got a decent shot on all those because, those are initiatives, that are ones that I think I can get done at my level.
The VA in Quincy, you've been very active on this subject.
I went up there for a visit. We had the first of our hearings in Chicago. That is something that, it is a bipartisan issue in that we want our veterans to be taken care of. I think that probably what has made the situation so challenging is nobody really understood the magnitude of the problem when it was first announced. I think all of us, when we hear Legionella outbreak, we think, well, that just means that there is a water fountain that needs to be replaced. The reality is that the Legionella bacteria was coming in from the water that facility receives from the city of Quincy, and because of the nature of the veterans home, the fact that the plumbing is about 120 years old throughout that place, there was a lot of sediment in the pipes, and you had biofilm throughout that facility that has the Legionella bacteria present in it. So the question is, what do you do? Do you tear down the whole facility? And if you do that, then that has other issues associated with it because you have residents of that home who do not want to move or are incapable of moving. So there's not any good answers. I think that the leadership of the Illinois Department of Veteran Affairs, has done a good job, making some tough choices, dealing with that situation.
I very often try to put myself in either somebody else's shoes or a group of shoes and try to understand that group's point of view. And as I try to stand back and look at this as a whole, Democrat, not Republican, not Democrat, but as a taxpayer and an American and a Southern Illinois citizen, I try to stand back and I try to be, calm and understand a lot of different point of views. And I think that if we could see progress on any of a long list of items, if as a customer of the state of Illinois, that we could see something being done instead of talked about, that there are a whole host of psychological and morale issues in this state would be cured or at least remedied to a certain extent if we could get some traction, if we could get some progress, if we could get the sense we're getting our money's worth. How does my vision of general public Illinois fit with your experience on the road over these last few months and meeting with constituents?
Well, I believe that we need to play small ball. We need to work together. We need to make some progress. And I think the mental component is an important thing to talk about. And that's why, going back to the very beginning of our conversation, I talked about why I felt it was important for the governor to still give a positive vision of the state of Illinois, because we do have challenges. Nobody is denying that. But at the same time, we do have tremendous talent and resources here. And when all we do is talk about how awful things are in Illinois, that almost becomes a problem in and of itself. FDR famously said, all those years ago, all we have to fear is fear itself. Well, at the same time, if you look at where we are now in Illinois, it is important the way we think about ourselves. We need to look in the mirror and recognize, yes, we do have very real challenges, but at the same time, we shouldn't be selling ourselves short. This is a great state. This is a great place to live. The reason I think that's important is, if you're a parent, you can relate to this. If I tell my two boys, if I say, you know what, Ethan and Garrett, you are special. You've been given a lot of gifts, and I hope the Lord lets me live long enough on this earth to see the amazing things that you're going to be able to do. If I give them that message, or if I give them the message, you know what, you're average, you just need to figure out how to get by in this god-awful world. If I give them those two messages, they are going to grow up to be radically different men, depending on which message I give them. That's why I say, you know, we need to recognize our challenges, but we need to realize that if we come together as Illinoisans, we can unlock the potential of our great state. And that's something that's important to recognize. We're in this together, and, what's right with Illinois can still fix all the problems that we face.
It's interesting that you say this, because I give a similar speech. I call it the rented mule. You know, if you think you're a rented mule, you are. But the current state of mind in any human being is a direct derivative of their expectations for the immediate and long future.
Absolutely correct. Your outlook does matter, and I know it's kind of, it's interesting, Tom, you and I, where our conversations lead us, but, the mental aspect, how we think about ourselves in Illinois is important. That's why I think it's important that our elected officials have a positive vision and appeal to our better angels.
Senator Paul Shimp, and today we will be carrying the State of the State Address at 12 noon on 1340 a.m., 10:20 a.m. will continue the regular programming with Rush Limbaugh, so you have your choice there this morning. Senator Paul Shimp. Hey, Paul, thanks for your time, man. I really appreciate it.
Well, always good talking with you, Tom. I enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll talk more in the upcoming session. Maybe we will get some. Now, see, it's interesting because Paul calls it small ball, and what it is because if we play small ball, we can get a little traction. It's interesting because you and I have same phraseology, expressing the same desire. Small ball, then I'll get some accomplishments done, and then I'll build some momentum. And see, with me, I just call it traction, because I think you and I are talking the same language.
Well, it's also what we call in Southern Illinois common sense, too.